Good evening, guys. This is Pastor Faber McMullen, and I'm here with
Larry Waddell, the music minister,
and
Clay Johnston.
Yeah,
longtime friend of Pastor Faber from when he was 13 years old.
Yeah, 13. We were prayer partners all these years. Y'all have heard me talk, and we're here with his lovely mother, Marion Johnston, who I love dearly, who loves the Lord, and she is going to end up today. She's going to share the gospel at the end of this. So, if any don't know the Lord, they're going to come to know Him. So, Larry, is it well with your soul?
It is. It is. You know, maybe we should just do a little verse of this. It is well with my soul.
But before we do, let's ask Clay this morning,
to open us
in a word of prayer. Clay Johnston, would you please open us in prayer?
Sure will. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for getting us together to worship you, to remember you, and fellowship around your word through Jesus Christ. Thank you that where two or more are gathered together, you are in the midst of them, and we got twice as many as two today. So thank you for a double portion of your spirit. And we ask that you bless the music, worship, and the ministry of the word through everybody in attendance today. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who gives us eternal life through faith in his name. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And we are at this kitchen table in Covington, Louisiana. Larry and I, of course, are on our way back with my camper. And I'm having some delicious Louisiana coffee, that kind with chicken.
Ooh, is it good?
Man, it will light you up. I don't think I'm going to be able to go to bed tonight, Larry. But it sure is good. Larry, lead us just in a verse.
Sure.
It is well with my soul. I know this is a favorite from Marion and Clay both.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and has shed his own blood my soul.
Everybody,
it is well,
it is well.
Oh, my soul,
with my soul,
it is well. My sin not import, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Sing it like you believe it.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Let's end it right there, Larry. Guys, open your word, please, to 2 Kings chapter 19. We're going to talk today about how our God is mighty to do anything, and that God is mighty even in the face of this COVID-19, this pandemic with people running around. God is mighty to save, isn't he, Larry?
Amen. You bet.
And we're talking about, there was a king in Judah named Hezekiah. Just a little word about Hezekiah. Hezekiah in the earlier chapters of 2 Kings and also in Chronicles and also some in Isaiah, we hear that he was the first of a righteous king, of righteous kings in a long line of really bad guys, Larry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Hezekiah was kind of interesting. He did things like he tore down images of, you know, temple of idols and this sort of thing. But he kind of always just looked out for himself. If he had a failure, I would say that it is that he saw things for his own life, but he didn't leave any legacy of holiness in Judah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, in the fourth year of his rule, this guy who's well-known in history named Sennacherib, and it's fun to talk about Sennacherib because Sennacherib, this story was Ben Johnston, one of his favorite. Ben Johnston was Marion's husband, and he's gone to be with the Lord 6 years ago. This was one of his favorite stories, wasn't it, Clay?
Yes.
And it's really neat. So we pick up in 19, and when Hezekiah learns that Sennacherib is on his way to take Judah, this is the response. I'm reading, actually, Larry, you want to read 2 Kings 19?
Yeah.
Yeah, verse 1.
All right. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and went into the temple of the Lord.
Let's stop right there. So when Hezekiah, Marion, when Hezekiah heard of a disaster coming, what was his response? What did he do?
Frightened.
Yeah, he was frightened, but it says when he heard of it, he tore his clothes, he was frightened. And then what did he do, Clay?
He went into the temple.
He went into the temple. So it's a lesson to us that when things come along that frighten us, the first place to go is into the presence of God.
Sure.
And where do we go now? Do we have to run off and be in a temple somewhere?
No.
Where do we go, Marion?
I think you just get on your knees
Amen.
And pray. It can be in your bedroom, your kitchen, anywhere.
Amen. Yeah, and you're immediately in God's presence, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We don't have to go to a temple anymore.
Right. We are the temple.
We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's Jesus said it. Amen. And so we go on, and then it says, he sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the secretary, and the leading priest, all wearing sackcloth. And where did they go? They went to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. And they told him, this is what Hezekiah says. So they're bringing a message from the king. This day is a day of distress and rebuke and disgrace, as when children come to the moment of birth and there's no strength to deliver them. What does that mean, Larry?
Well, I think it's when they're just downtrodden and they feel like they're going to be defeated.
No matter
and
what.
They're kind of scared. Yeah, they're thinking, no matter what, we're not going to make it.
Like,
this.
You don't even have, it's like a woman that's carried a baby all these years and then doesn't even have the energy to give birth to the child, you know. I mean, they're in great distress. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the field commander, the master, the king of Assyria, who has sent to ridicule the living God, and that he will rebuke him for the words the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, pray for the remnant that still survives. So Hezekiah has sent his messengers, Marion, to ask Isaiah, who was a holy man, who was a prophet, who was recognized as a prophet, to pray. And, you know, he didn't say, quick, get all the arms together and go out and meet Sennacherib on the battlefield. He said, go up to Isaiah and ask him to pray. And so in verse 5, Clay, you want to read what happens when the officials came to Isaiah?
So the servants of King Hezekiah came
to Isaiah. Good and loud, Clay.
So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Keep going?
Yeah.
Okay, and Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me.
So who's saying this?
That's Isaiah is saying that.
Yeah, but it's God speaking through Isaiah.
It's God speaking through Isaiah.
All right, so continue on. So God's saying what? Listen.
He says, Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.
There I will have him cut down with the sword. So this is interesting. Isaiah makes this prophecy through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, not only is he going to hear a report and leave this land, he's going to go and be cut down with a sword. It's kind of interesting. And we know about Sennacherib through history. This is a real guy, and it's further proof, as I tell the congregation, Larry, the Bible is the true living word of God. And when history meshes with it, the Bible's accurate. So this Sennacherib guy, this is what's happening. So let's read on. Let's see, I want to get down to here. We're in 2 Kings 19. And so then these messengers go back, and they're going to go back to Judah, and they're going to tell now Hezekiah what all has happened. Marion, do you feel comfortable reading verse?
I don't have my glasses, and I'm not good at.
All right. Well, let's go then to verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messenger. So he gets this letter back that Isaiah's written.
Mm-hmm.
And he went up to the temple of the Lord, and he spread it out before the Lord. What did he spread out before the Lord?
He spread out the letter that they've got from Isaiah.
That's
basically the, I guess, the Word of God.
It's the Word of God. So Isaiah, Marion... Hezekiah takes the word of God, and he goes up to the temple, and he lays it before the Lord, and he's going to say, Lord, this is what Isaiah said. Now, isn't it interesting? Have you ever taken, Marion, God's word and said, God, you've said this in your word, and I'm going to trust you that your word's true?
Not often, but I think I have one time.
I have. Well, you've done it one time. I've done it many
times.
I do it often. I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, you've said in your word you're never going to leave me or forsake me. I feel left and I feel forsaken.
I've done that.
And so it's okay to take the Lord's word and lay it before him and say, God, you know, I'm putting your word before you. Let's read on then. Clay, read 15.
Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, you are the Lord, even you alone of all kingdoms of the earth. You have made the heaven and the earth. Lord, bow down your ear and hear. Open, Lord, your eyes and see and hear the word of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore have they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save you us out of this hand, and that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, even you only.
Okay, Larry, so what's that saying? What is Hezekiah saying to the Lord?
He's saying to him that, you know, God, you've said these things, make these things basically come true, and show the world that you are the only God, that gods that Sennacherib worships are just defeated.
And he's saying, God, he has gone and destroyed all these other nations.
Yes, yeah. He's talked about how he's blasphemed the word of God and worshipped other gods and taken over these other nations.
And I want to just say, guys, that, you know, in a way, an army of Sennacherib, to me, the reason I guess I thought of this a couple of days ago is because it was this undefeatable thing coming against God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not unlike the feeling that some might have with the coronavirus.
Yeah, they feel like it can't be defeated. Like
there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. And you know why? There is no cure.
Right.
Okay, so it was kind of like this for Sennacherib. We're in chapter 19. And so, so what's happened, Hezekiah is saying, basically this enemy's coming. God, I don't have a cure for it.
Right.
I don't have a vaccine for it. I don't have an antibody vaccine. This is what they've done to all the rest of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And they've called on their gods, and their gods are nothing but wood and stone made by men. And you are the God that's the king of the universe. So, Lord, make yourself known. And then I got up early this morning and I read this poem then. It's poetry, as I've taught y'all most, or a lot of the Old Testament is really written in poetry. There I'm in verse 20. Then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. So Isaiah is sending this further message.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I have heard your prayer concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria. This is the word that the Lord has spoken against him. So we're going to hear the word. So when Isaiah first heard when Hezekiah first heard what Isaiah had said, his response was he went to the temple and he prayed. Mm-hmm. He acknowledged God for being mighty to serve, mighty to save, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then the Lord gives him a second word, Larry, and this is the word now that God is giving against Sennacherib. And I'll start it off, and then we're going to each of us drink part of it. Virgin daughter Zion.
Wait, where are you again? Excuse me.
I am in 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 21.
Gotcha.
So this is what God is saying to Sennacherib. Virgin daughter Zion despises you and mocks you. Daughter Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. It's pretty cool, isn't it? Who is it you have ridiculed and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in pride? Against the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
So God's saying, Sennacherib, Hezekiah, and the Jews aren't your problem. I'm your problem.
Right.
I am who you're dealing with. Go ahead, Larry, pick up in 23.
All right. By your messengers you have ridiculed the Lord, and you have said, with my many chariots I have ascended the heights of the mountains, with the utmost heights of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars, the choicest of its junipers. I have reached its remotest parts, the finest of its forests. I have dug wells in foreign lands and drunk the water there. With the soles of my feet, I have dried up all the streams of Egypt.
Okay, now Clay, why don't you pick up with verse 25? This is still God speaking to Sennacherib.
Have you not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? Now have I brought it to pass that you should be laid waste fenced cities into ruinous heaps. Therefore their inhabitants were a small power. They were dismayed and confounded. They were as the grass of the field, as the green herb, as the grass on the housetops, and as the corn blasted before it be grown up. But I know your abode, and your going out, and your coming in, and your rage against me. Because your rage against me and your tumult has come up into my ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose, a bridle in thy lips. I'll turn thee back by the way by which you came.
Okay, so what is he saying about this? What is this hook in your nose and this bit in your mouth business?
Saying, I'm going to lead you back to the way you came.
I'm going to put a hook in your nose. Like, Larry, you grew up on
like a
farm.
Like a snout of a hog.
What did y'all do? Well, you showed pigs, didn't you?
Yes. You put the ring in his nose, and they could actually lead him around. Like, they kept the hog from getting into things he wasn't supposed to get into.
Yeah.
And then the bit in the mouth is like a bit in a horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Because with a bit, you can guide the horse wherever you want him to go.
And God's saying, I'm going to lead you like a pig, and I'm going to lead you like a horse.
Yes.
Sennacherib, you're not going to get your will. That's what he's saying. I'm going to subjugate you. Then, this will be the sign for you, Hezekiah. So God's now giving Hezekiah a sign. This year you will eat what grows by itself, the second year what springs from that, but in the third year sow and reap, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. Once more a remnant of the kingdom of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above. For out of Jerusalem will come a remnant, and out of Mount Zion a band of survivors. So God's saying, I'm not going to forget you. You're going to survive. And you know what? Sometimes, y'all, I feel like we're a remnant in America. Do y'all feel like that?
No.
When all of society, you don't as a Christian, when all of society has turned against the Lord and unlimited abortions now society, and you can see society really turning hard. I have even in this, I don't see society at large coming to the Lord over this coronavirus.
No, you're right. And that's where we need to be. That's where they say it here, because he even says the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. We need to go to the Lord, because God can do away with this virus.
I don't see this nation turning towards God, but I see God protecting the remnant that's here. We are the remnant. That's what I'm saying. In this living room and in the living rooms of Whitehall and Navasota and Grimes County, we are a remnant, and God is going to be faithful to his remnant, and he's faithful to his righteous. And the Lord never in Scripture anywhere judges the righteous.
Correct.
And he may judge this nation for the things this nation has done, and we may go through hardship.
Doesn't mean we're going to escape any kind of punishment.
Correct.
Yeah, but we're not going to be judged. We're not going to go through judgment, in my opinion. Then he goes on. He says, therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning the king of Assyria. This is what God's saying about you, Sennacherib. He will not enter this city or shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with a shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way that he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. Then he says, I will defend this city, and I will save it for my sake and for the sake of David, my servant. I think it's interesting that he's not saying, I'm going to save it for your sake, Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of weird, you know. I God has a reputation, Clay. And what he's saying is, I'm going to save this for David. I mean, Jesus is going to come from David, and I'm going to save it for my sake. God has a reputation. I talk about that in church, okay? Now, I want you, Clay, to read this passage that you was so loved by your dad about. So let's set the scene. So here they are. Hezekiah is scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone to the temple to pray. He's believing God for a miracle. Then Isaiah sends another message, and he says, not only are you going to be all right, this is what I'm going to do to Sennacherib. And he gives him this beautiful poetry that we just read. So there, this giant host, and it's been estimated that there were a couple of 100,000 people. We don't even have to estimate it. Scripture tells us how large the army was out there, ready to overtake Judah, destroy the people, take them into captivity, just like they had the northern kingdom, which is referred to as Israel. These are actually the Judeans or Judah. So, good and loud, Clay, read us what happens to the army of Sennacherib in chapter 19, verse 35.
Came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000.
Okay, let's stop for a minute. Some of my congregation doesn't know what smote means. So what's going on here?
It's like, just like in the movie The Ten Commandments, the death angel kills all of those 185,000.
And the angel of the Lord went in the night and killed 185,000 people in the Assyrian camp.
And that is more people than the first atom bomb killed in the Second World War at Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
So what I'm saying to y'all, congregation, if God is powerful enough to kill 185,000 Assyrians who were set out to destroy Judah and take the things of the temple, then he is strong enough to come against any coronavirus, any COVID-19 that might threaten his people.
Amen. Yes.
Okay? Continue, Clay, in 35. So the people
when
get
they
up.
Rose in the early in the morning, still finishing 35. When they rose early in the morning, they were all dead corpses. And so Sennacherib...
Okay, so Sennacherib wakes up, and what does he find?
He finds his army just ground to bits overnight.
Yeah, they're all dead. I mean, it's just they're all gone. It's kind of amazing. This is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible to me. I mean, this is incredible. And so what does Sennacherib do? Larry, why don't you pick up there at 36?
All right, so Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. One day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, Nisroch, his sons, Adramelech and Sharezer, killed him with the sword, and they escaped the land of Ararat. And Esharhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king.
So what happened to Sennacherib, Larry?
Well, he was smote down, killed in his own country there. He went back to Assyria, and he was killed by his own sons, worshiping this false god.
Exactly as was said in 7. Listen, when he hears a certain report, what's the report? The report he heard was is that his whole army had died, right?
Mm-hmm.
I will make him want to return to his own country, and there, I'm back now in verse 7. I will have him cut down with the sword. So God used Sennacherib's sons, and they, when he was worshiping a false god, they came in and killed him right there in this temple of this god Nisroch. So the word, I think, for the congregation today is that we have a God that's mighty to save. He's a God that's mighty to serve. I've told the congregation, don't go. You need to do your part. Wear your mask. Don't right now socialize. Don't run and be with 1,900 people. You do your part and let God do his part. When the death angel passed over Egypt, the people weren't out partying in the street.
Right.
They put the blood of Jesus on their door. They put the blood of a lamb on their doorpost, and the death angel that Clay referred to passed over them. So in this time, guys, you know, maintain your distance. Do what you know to do and leave the rest up to God.
Amen.
God's powerful to save, Larry.
Yes, he is, yeah. And like you say, we should do our part. It doesn't mean that we don't do the things that we should do. It just means that we be faithful to his word, know that he can take care of it, and you know we still do our part.
And some people listening to this, when this gets broadcasted, may not know. They go, well, I don't know how to even have a relationship with God. It starts with that. You've got to have a relationship, right, or you can't have this kind of conversation.
Amen.
You know, I had to have a relationship with Sandy of courting before I was able to have a conversation with her. I had to have a relationship with her as her husband before I had further conversation with her. So I'm going to ask Marion, tell the folks how you get how you come into a relationship with Jesus. Share the gospel.
You have to get in the Word. You have to be hungry to an extent in the beginning and then grow for the Word of God, because that's where Jesus, where you really get to know Him, is what He said.
And how is it if someone listening has never, ever accepted the Lord? How do you do it? What do you have to do in order to be saved?